There's so much attention that's given to physical health, right? So what are some signs and symptoms that you guys recognize from poor brain health?
I mean, for me, first and foremost was brain fog and, you know, fatigue, just not feeling good in my body, like there was something going on.
If you're putting too much stress on your brain, and if you have too much stress in your life, you overload and you forget about things. Sometimes you just need to give your brain a break.
For sure.
You know, and like listen to really what you need and like see how you're behaving. And so,
hence our name, Make Time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, so making time for your brain health and just paying attention, like, once you're aware, you really start to understand like what is affecting your brain health and what you need to do to support it.
Emma Hemming Willis and Helen Cristone, thank you so much, founders of an incredible brand called Make Time. I'm so happy to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
We're really excited to be here.
The timing of getting the email from your team was just like so in sync with, one, what's happening right now. Like, women's hormones are finally given a place in media, but there's such a dark lens that's placed over it. And when I was doing more reading about your brand, there's just something that's so positive and uplifting and motivating around how you can nourish the body instead of trying to fix something.
Yeah.
So before we dive into all of that, you guys should know this podcast is, it's all about, you know, becoming rooted in ancient wisdom and this inner wisdom that we all have to heal. We have this inner wisdom within us to step into our best self, our happiness, and our own capacity to heal our bodies. So I'm curious with you guys, what's one or two things that helps you really feel rooted in your life?
You know, for me, it's really about community, being close to a community that I can connect with, and also my family. For me, that's sort of what brings me back and helps ground me. You know, I tend to be a little bit overwhelmed, and I know that's when I sort of need to root myself back, is like family first, my community, very important.
Did you grow up with community?
You know, I didn't. Yeah. And I think I was really, I didn't realize that I needed a community around me until all of a sudden I really needed it. So I didn't have community.
Yeah.
A single child, and well, my mom was a single parent. I'm an only child. And, you know, we were just kind of like in it to win it by ourselves.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I feel like such a core value at the ashram when I went to heal was the fact that I was living in community with other people the way that we used to.
Yeah.
What about you, Helen?
I think for me, really, it's going outside, like being in nature, because so much of my time is spent like in meetings and, you know, in a business setting. It's very important to me that I get outside every day. And then I think also connection, you know, just making sure that I'm connecting with my family, connecting with my friends and my husband is super important.
So on the flip side then, do you notice when you get uprooted? I find that when I'm working with a lot of my clients, the way that wellness is pitched, especially in Los Angeles, right? Like, you know, do the green juice, get outside, do your biohacking, do this. They're treating all the things that should help them root as a checklist.
Mm.
And sometimes it uproots them. It's like they're not even tapping into the wisdom that's happening. Do you notice when you get uprooted, or what are some things that cause you to get uprooted?
100%. I think that, you know, really, you know, we're fed by media this list of all the things that you need to do to be healthy. And so I think a lot of people get caught up and, you know, I have to take a glutathione, or I have, which there's nothing wrong with glutathione, but like I have to take this like list of things to be, have more wellness or to feel better. And, you know, for me, like I'm an avid athlete, like I do a lot of running, and I get a little, like sometimes you can overdo it. Like I put a lot of pressure on myself to like maybe work out a little too much and that sort of thing. So I think just balance is key for sure.
Yeah. What about you, Emma?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'm so easily overwhelmed, and I think I put so many things on my schedule as well. Like I'm so heavily scheduled with work and family and kids, and I don't really realize how all of that sort of getting in my way. So not that it's getting in my way, it's just that I overdo it. So, you know, for me, I also think like wellness has become so, it's like, it's almost like unreachable. It's
oh
like
my gosh,
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's something that becomes so complicated where I just think it's really about simplifying things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just to kind of really looking into yourself and really thinking like, what do I need? Like, stop with this outside noise, like mm-hmm. hush the noise and really focus on you and what you're lacking and what you need.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm working with my clients, there's like this healthy addiction to being A-type and getting things done. Mm-hmm. And like, it feels really good. Right. But it's so easy. And even working in this industry, guiding people to mindfulness practices and stuff like that, it can feel so good for me to be in that uprooted until I burn out. Do you find that you can catch yourself before you get to that point? Are you better at that now?
Right now for me, I'm really working on it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that I'm one of those kind of like triple type A. I love being ambitious. It's a really big part of my personality. I love working. I love everything that we do. And so, like, the season I'm in currently, I'm having to really work on catching myself because it's easy for me just to, you know, it feels good, you know. So I have to, like, stop myself and try and make a conscious effort to bring it down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think same. I think what was so beautiful about when we started the brand and we were really getting into the name and, like, all the layers of it and what it means – you know, learning to make time. We just don't make time. We're so mm-hmm. overscheduled. We're doing so many things. And I think I've really looked at that and I think I've done a pretty good job of knowing, like, you know, I'm putting too much stuff on my schedule. Yeah. I need to, like, pull it back. Mm-hmm. This can wait a week. Like, prioritizing things so that yeah. I can learn to make more time for me. Again, I don't know how many times I can say that I get overwhelmed. Yeah. I keep saying that, but I get so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I know that about myself.
Yeah.
So it's like, what do I do to not get to that?
Oh gosh, you know? I hear you.
Like, yeah. you know, you just need to, like, buffer some things in and have some time and make time. And that, for me, that has been game changing.
Yeah. I feel like anxiety was my blueprint growing
me
up,
too.
But it's just very familiar to me.
Yeah.
But there's something so refreshing with aging as a woman where it's like, oh, I don't have to be like that anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, it can actually feel really different. And we'll talk more about,
yeah.
I think there's something magical about when a woman really comes into her power in us. And I know that we've had moments collectively when we do less, we can accomplish more and feel better in our bodies. Right?
Yeah.
That concept of flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as the founders of Make Time Wellness, I'm curious, you know, was there an aha moment when you knew you had to turn passion into a brand and advocates?
Yeah. I think for me, it started with an incredible amount of brain fog. It started happening a few years ago and I had taken it to my doctor and my doctor said, oh, you know what, Emma, you're a busy mom. You know, you have a lot of stress in your life, you know, all the things. And I was like, so, like, brain fog is normal. It's fine. It's going to pass. Like, it'll be okay. And there was just something that was telling me, like, this can't be right. Like, my brain used to function well. And now I'm just, like, walking into rooms. I don't know why I'm walking into rooms. Like, I'm just not functioning on all cylinders. So I ended up finding a brain health doctor who introduced me to the term of brain health, which I had never heard before, which I find wild because, you know, I'm pretty up to date on wellness mm-hmm. and brain health was just something that was not on my radar. And through lifestyle change and a fistful of vitamins and, you know, all of these things that mm-hmm. he presented to me, I really started to see a shift and a change and I started to feel better. The downside of it was that I was taking a fistful of vitamins every day, multiple times a day.
Yeah.
And I said to Helen, I was like, you know, I am seeing such a difference. Mm-hmm. Things are working, but I would love to be able to take all these things that I'm taking and make a drink. And Helen was like, oh, that's my wheelhouse. We can totally do that. And yeah. that's how Make Time Wellness was born.
Yeah. Incredible. And, you know, would you say that, did you have a personal connection prior to meeting Emma to issues around brain health yourself?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, my grandmother had dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my stepmother had dementia. And so it's in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing my Nana, you know, as she got older with dementia, really left a mark on me, you know, because she was very special to me. And when I started looking into it, you know, and Emma and I had this conversation, and I just started looking at the space, it's just everything was speaking to men. And there was really like all the packaging on shelf and the formulas and everything was just such a male conversation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she brought it up to me, like I had that aha moment, like there's just no one having this conversation with women. So it's been really, really, it's been a really great path to bring this forward.
It's funny that, you know, when we go to our doctors, oh, it's so common. It's so common. Like that's supposed to make things okay, right? And to your point about the supplements and the fact like this is an amazing industry that so much education is given, what I really love about your approach is that you're really talking to, paying attention to the root cause, right? Which a lot of doctors do not do, especially from a woman's perspective and our shifting hormones. And there's so much attention that's given to physical health, right? But not brain health as its own entity, right? And it's like, if I wasn't mistaken, it's our heart, our brain, the two like most incredible organs that we should be given more attention to, right? So what are some signs and symptoms that you guys recognize from poor brain health?
I mean, for me, first and foremost was brain fog and, you know, fatigue, just not feeling good in my body. Like there was something going on. And my approach now is when I think about my brain first, the rest of my body benefits. And that has been such a simple shift because actually looking after your brain is not that complicated. It's very obtainable. What about you? Did you have issues with brain health?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Like, you know when, and now I realize more than ever, if you're putting too much stress on your brain, and if you have too much stress in your life, you overload and you forget about things. You're not on top of your stuff. You feel like you're underneath things, not on top of things. And sometimes you just need to give your brain a break.
For sure.
You know, and like listen to really what you need and like see how you're behaving. And so
hence our name, Make Time.
I mean, you know, like, so making time for your brain health and just paying attention, like once you're aware, you really start to understand like what is affecting your brain health and what you need to do to support it.
You know what I love, just to add, our older daughter, Mabel, she's 12 and she's at a new school. And what they do in middle school is that they schedule in brain breaks for these kids. Yeah.
That's so incredible.
Every day there is a brain break where, you know, they
do
just get to.
Breaks?
We all need. I'm like, can I come over for the brain break?
Seriously.
Can I schedule that in? I do schedule that in. But, but I just thought, like, you know, this is now crossing over, which is so nice to, you know, like our younger demographic who now understand the importance of these breaks. Like we do get so overloaded, and especially these kids as well, that there's so much rigor in school and,
for sure,
you know,
the stimulation.
There just needs to be some balance. And I love that the school is doing that for them.
I said this a lot on this podcast, but can you imagine the impact if we were taught how to care for our bodies and our brain from, you know, being a little kid? The difference, like you have to take 5 minutes a day, non-negotiable, if you want this thing, this gift that we get one of, right? The difference in how we would evolve. And for me, I'll never forget one I shared with you around the time when I was going, when I was on beta blocker medication. I would not be surprised. Like it felt like black smoke was just inside my head. I could not see straight. I became lethargic and dull. And again, doctors are like, oh, it's normal. It's a part of, it's a side effect, you know, deal with it.
Is that because you were taking it daily?
I was taking it every day. Yeah, because the intention was to slow down my heart rate for when I would go into these tachycardia episodes. But it dulled my entire being completely. That's why I ended up gaining weight. And that's why I went for the heart surgeries, right, as a plan B. But then again, doctors, and even as women, we don't really talk to each other about, hey, when you have kids, here's what's going to happen afterwards, right? After my daughter was born, I had major postpartum. And for women listening, like, I think we get so used to living with our symptoms that we identify with them. We're like, oh, it's just what's happening. It's just the way
it
that
is
I am.
It's
what it is,
yeah.
Right? Instead of like, no, 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 this is my physiology today. How is my body communicating with me in this moment? And what can I do about it? Because I identified as that person. I thought that the brain fog was going to stick around. I thought that the days of anxiety or depression were going to stick around, and everyone's just saying it's normal. Right?
No, it's I mean, it all happens, but it's definitely not normal. And then you can, it's nice when you know that you can be proactive about it.
For sure.
And you're never too old to start practicing good brain health.
And it doesn't have to look like doom and gloom.
It doesn't have to look like doom and gloom, and it doesn't have to be complicated. It's quite simple to obtain it.
So you started talking about, you know, when you benefit your brain, when you take care of your brain, you benefit your whole body. So let's paint a picture, maybe even with your own journey. When you started to focus on your brain health, how did that impact your overall well-being?
You know, I just felt a lot, I mean, again, like a lot more motivated. I think, you know, there's pillars to brain health: sleep, nutrition, stress reduction, being socially engaged. Yeah. You know, when I brought all of these things into my life, I just saw such a positive shift because I wasn't putting my sleep first. And I wasn't eating my leafy greens and healthy fats. And, you know, but the shift was so simple and not rigid. And I just now feel, I mean, granted, I'm going through perimenopause, so the fog does roll in every now and again. But you know, I'm continuing. I know what to do. I know what I need to do more of to sort of help lift. So that's been helpful for me.
And so, what does it take to have great brain health? And maybe this is where we can hover on a personal note, because when my symptoms were at their worst, and even now with perimenopause, like, some days the thoughts of, okay, I'm going to eat my leafy greens, I'm going to get outside, I'm going to have my fatty fish, I'm going to take my supplements, is just like, oh God, like, it seems like such work. But I really want to shed light on the fact that when you just make the commitment, kind of like in alignment with your higher self, by giving it a day or two, the impact of what can happen. So what would you say, like, what are some tips that we can give people to have some great brain health every single day?
I think for sure you just need to, you know, like the brand's called Make Time. You need to make time. And so for me, I think it's really like taking that time out to just prepare. Like if you're going through, if you're perimenopausal, like I'm postmenopausal, like you have to make time to take care of yourself. Like women need to make time to like put things in place in their environment so it's easy. So I think like drafting a shopping list and just have it on repeat and making sure that it's coming no matter what with your basics, you know, to just make sure that you're covered, that you have things in your pantry, that you have things in your freezer that are there for you so you can easily grab them. I think it's super important. And then also, I think one thing that I really like to do, my number one tip is like taking a brain break. I put them in my calendar. Like, so I go in and I'll block times in my calendar that are make time moments where I just make sure that I just give myself time to do whatever it is I want to make time for.
So good.
Yeah, it's the same for me. It's like, I mean, even for exercise, even for getting out for a walk, it's like I put everything into my calendar.
Yeah.
And in fact, I mean, it sounds so sad that we have to schedule these things, but you know, we are so heavily scheduled. You know, there's so many things going on, and I need to be able to break that up. So for me as well, that's one of my tips. You stole it from me. So.
What I hear, so, you know, I think in the wellness world, they talk about habits, having healthy habits every day. I think a habit can come and go. You can do anything for 21 days and then it stops, right? But I think when we turn something into a ritual, rituals become us. Like, brushing our teeth every day, it becomes something that we do. It's non-negotiable. And to your point about the scheduling, so there's some people out there who are calling this flow state training, right? If you get your brain into a schedule, it loves when things are consistent every single day, right? As I researched this, though, and when I went back to me living at the ashram, if you guys ever go, come with me one day to the ashram. You're going to love it. Your brain will love it, too.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
We'll go to the Bahamas. And there.
Okay.
We'll put that in the calendar. Locations
everywhere.
That's going in.
There's attention to your brain every day. And one of those things is that ashrams and even like Buddhist monks, for crying out loud, every single day is run by schedule, hour by hour, task by task. So their brain knows what to expect. And what that feels like when you're there, living there for a period of time, living here in the Western world, amongst our crazy lives and schedules and family, thousands of tabs are open, right? But when you go to the ashram, it's like shutting down all of those tabs so that we can just be present to that moment. So 1 hour of breath work, 1 hour of yoga, 1 hour of work or karma yoga that happens afterwards, time to eat. So I think scheduling into your calendar is, yeah, it sucks that it's a necessity, but it's also an ancient practice. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
that's good to know. Yeah. I actually like being scheduled. It's not
me
that
too.
I don't. I like a schedule. Again, like I'm very A-type, so
same.
Schedules and productivity and all of that is important, as well as scheduling when I need to make time.
You got it.
So
what's one practice that you would say that's had the most impact for you?
Brain health. I mean, that for me is not really so much like I'm going to start it in January and
for sure.
See how far I can go with it. It's just a lifestyle now. I've incorporated it so much into my life about sleep, and I track my sleep with my Aura ring and, you know, making sure that I have healthy options in my refrigerator. It just takes a little bit of planning, healthy things in not healthy, just like brain healthy things in my pantry. And then we have some fun too. You know, there's balance as
for
well
sure.
in that
yeah.
pantry. I've got young kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just about, for me, just balancing. What was the question?
Yeah. let's put it through this light, because I think maybe people will be able to, it's more tangible. What's a practice for you specifically that gives you the greatest aha, or not aha? What's the one greatest practice that makes you feel the most like exhale?
I like that.
For me, it's definitely meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think lately I've been really connecting with meditation. I hadn't for a very long time. I was very into meditation when I was in my 20s, and then just life happened. And so I think about the last year and a half, I've been working with some people on meditation, sound baths, and just like those moments are so special, because it's like you just said, you like close the tabs. And I know for that period that I'm going to have like complete clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been really, really helpful for me.
Is there a type of meditation that you like?
I like any. I mean, like really, I like guided meditation. I like taking myself through meditations. I've been really liking kind of like group sound baths. So I do it I have a woman that I practice with one-on-one, which I think is really helped me. And then I even have like apps where I'll do it at night to like wind down. So I think I'm kind of doing it all.
Yeah, we're kind of laughing at this, but I feel like some people, I know a lot of the listeners, we all know meditation is good for us, but a lot of people don't commit to it, right?
Yeah.
Or often it's the first thing to go if we get really, really busy. But I think it's so important to find a type of meditation that actually feels good for you.
Yeah.
Meditation can happen while you're walking. It can happen if you're in a sound bath, if you're sitting down, if you're in the bath, if you're making lunch, if you're making your coffee first thing in the morning. And for those people who say, oh, it's not for me, chances are it's for them the most.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's like other ways to find it, exactly like what you said.
It.
You know, for me, it's like when I get outside, when I go for a hike, when I'm connecting into nature, you know, even just going to the beach. We live so close to the beach, and I'm trying to do that more, because there's something about being close to the ocean that it's like all the tabs start shutting down.
Yeah.
You know, you could just be there. You're listening to the waves, the breeze. There's something that takes me out of my life and sets me there, and I'm actually present and in my body. That feels more like my own type of meditation.
Could you imagine going to a doctor's office where when you sit down in the waiting room, instead of it being the sterile room, it was like imagery of nature, sounds of the ocean, birds chirping in the background, a guided breathwork meditation that happened.
Aromatherapy going,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the dream for the future.
Mm.
Okay, so on your website, you guys have some amazing stats. They're shocking, actually.
Yes.
So by 35, a woman's brain is already in decline.
Mm-hmm.
35.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, so what happens as you start getting older, the blood flow gets restricted to your brain. Your brain's actually shrinking. And this is, you know, you asked earlier about aha moments, and this was really one of them for us.
Mm.
You know, 2/3 of the Alzheimer's patients here in the United States are women. And 1 out of every 6 women is going to get Alzheimer's. Compare that to one out of 11 women who are going to get breast cancer. So everybody's talking about their breasts and breast cancer, as they should. It's just we're not having that same conversation about brain health, and double the women are at risk. And so when you think about that, women really need to, you know, one of our missions at Make Time Wellness is to get the world thinking, talking seriously about women's brain health. And for Emma and myself, it's like just getting together with other women, using our voices as women to have this conversation with other women. That's where the magic's going to happen, because nobody really knows that one out of every six women are going to have Alzheimer's. It's not openly spoken about. And I think that there's so many things that you can do, lifestyle changes like we've been talking about, supplementation, easy things that you can do to like put you, like really focus on your brain health and not become one of those statistics.
I don't know why people aren't talking about it. I don't know if it's like, I think, well, I do know there's so much stigma and shame around dementia as a whole. So I think maybe it's just being pushed to the back burner, but
well, it's even around aging, right? So like all doctors then, if we know that this is such a huge stat, and we know for a lot of women, you know, estrogen is crucial for supplying oxygen to the brain. And if that drops, right? And so there's so many symptoms that happen as the onset from 35 on. I work with this amazing acupuncturist. He's like, if I was in clinic, I would put every single woman over the age of 40 on estrogen. And yet most women don't even know how to check their hormones properly. No. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Let's put this out there. Like, have conversations with other women in your communities about the power of like, hey, how's your brain health? What's your brain fog like? Like, making it part of conversation so that we don't normalize it, so that we stop normalizing it. But also when we go to our doctors, hey, what can I do for my brain?
Yeah, you have to advocate for yourself. You have to learn how to advocate for yourself. And I never knew about that. You know, it was so easy for me to go to the doctor and him dismissing, saying, well, he knows best. So I'm just going to walk away from this with my brain fog and think it's fine. It's going to clear up. And it never did. It's like, we really need to empower ourselves. We really need to have these conversations. And we need to learn how to advocate for ourselves in our doctor's office, because it's so easy, like that hierarchy, you know, you feel that and like they know best, but you really have to go in knowing what you're feeling and something is not right and really presenting it. And if he's not listening, she's not listening, you need to go somewhere else.
You got it.
You know, funny, because, and I'm not going to put my primary care doctor on blast now, but
I know, I try not
you know,
to
the
that.
Last time she did a physical with me, when I went in, I was kind of a test. And so, you know, like if your primary care doctors, when you're doing your physical, they're not asking you about your brain health, ask them about your brain health. And so, you know, my doctor, who I won't name right now, you know, she did my physical. And at the end, I was like, you know, doctor, you know, I have this brand called Make Time Wellness, and we're raising awareness for women's brain health. And I really would love to start having this conversation with you. And she and I spoke, and I'm very close with her. She's an amazing woman. And she was like, you know what, you're right. And this is not something that they really cover as a part of, you know, general practice. And so it was so great to just have that moment with my doctor. And so ask your doctors. You know, let's start talking about my brain health, because they'll be able, I mean, they do know about supplements you can take and lifestyle changes. So it's great to start the conversation.
And have the conversation. And if they don't know, then have them refer you to someone.
Absolutely. You know? Your doctor should be your partner in healing, right? And that's not happening. And I remember, you know, when I was given medications or been given a diagnosis, they're in the white coat. You just give them so much power and control. You get a label or a diagnosis and you identify with that. And something that you said too, like, if you know within you that something's off, this is where women need to be given more power. Like, we have this communication system within our body. Trust your gut on that. I just saw a doctor who told me that leaky gut syndrome wasn't real.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, really? Okay. Yeah, but again, it's like the doctor that doesn't get training in nutrition, right? And I think, you know, the paradigm is shifting a little bit. There's more awareness that's being brought to this. But like, even around what we're putting into our bodies, food keeps us alive, and yet our doctors don't know how to speak to us about the power of nutrition. They want to know that we're not eating at McDonald's every day, we're no longer smoking or drinking too much alcohol. And it's like, It's so much more
it needs to be it needs to be proactive, and a proactive approach, not a reactive approach.
You got it. Yeah. And I remember even saying to my doctor, when my anxiety was at its worst, he never asked about what was happening in my life, what my schedule was like, what the quality of my sleep was like. He just wanted to know the big, you know, check boxes, and that was it. So that's a really good point. Find a doctor that is your partner. All right, next, you guys wrote, on average, half of our short-term memory and focus is gone by the age of 60. Like, 60 is like the new, what, 40?
Yeah.
Right? Can we call that? So like 60 is so young. Short-term memory. And this is what sucks, because I'm a big fan of, I don't want to believe that aging has to be poor. And I think we live in a world where it's like, oh, especially as women, it's all going downhill. You know, perimenopause, menopause, here you go. Losing your short-term memory, right? Forgetfulness. When we shouldn't have to accept that at all. So have you noticed since you started the brand, are there women that have reached out to you? You know, have you? Yeah.
I mean, the overwhelming thing we get is thank you, and I need this.
Yeah, because
everybody, I mean, you know, when you start recognizing it, you're like, oh, that's my short-term memory. You know, when you can't find something or you can't place it. And there's things that we can do. And it's not all lost. And there's things that we can do every single day to work on our brain health. Like, don't turn on the GPS. Do a puzzle. Learn something new.
Do your shopping without a list.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, there's ways to, like, exercise your brain. Brush your teeth with your left hand if you're normally right-handed. Yeah. You know, there's just ways to, like, train, exercise. There's things that you can do for your brain that are, like, quite fun.
What else do you think is triggering all of this? So let's say it's happening more frequently, right? I know, like, there's a lot of symptoms and rises in certain diseases and mental health issues. Like, anxiety and depression, for example, are on the rise. The numbers are higher than they've ever been before. Mm-hmm. And when I'm working with my clients trying to get to the root cause, it is a big approach because there's a lot of things that are contributing to this. So what would you say, like, what are some of the biggest triggers that you would find that are contributing to brain health?
I would say, like, lack of movement, like a sedentary lifestyle, lack of sleep, or, you know, not making good food choices, not exercising. I mean, movement is so important. There's so many great studies about exercise and how it benefits your brain now, which has been so exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of just like all the opposites of great, like the pillars of, you know, there's so many things that we can do now.
Yeah.
But again, it's so simple. You just got to get up and move, and social interaction, stress reduction. You know, it's not out of reach, which I love it. Like, it's easier for me to practice that than this very complicated, crazy lifestyle of wellness that we're trying to obtain that seems unobtainable.
Yeah. Especially with social media. I mean, you know.
Ugh, forget it. How complicated.
It's like actually like the opposite of health and wellness you think about it, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, what we're seeing people's outsides is not a reflection of inside. And I just think we're constantly having to reprogram.
For sure.
Yeah.
With my clients too, I also try to guide them to understanding, like, turn down the noise of social media.
Yeah.
Your perfect diet, your perfect wellness protocol should be as unique as your thumbprint, right? Yours and mine, they should all be different, and we can take ownership with that, right? And what do you think too, just like based on the conversations that you've had since starting the brand and prior to, with women and our emotional health, it's got to impact our brain health.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why, like, one of the pillars is stress reduction, you know. Me, again, for the sixth time, being overwhelmed all the time, that really impacts my, you know, the state of my well-being. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are the things that I do that I know to sort of lower the noise, bring down my anxiety? And it's getting out into nature. It's being socially engaged.
Yeah.
It's connecting with my family and friends.
I'm really curious, like, now that I used to use the word vibration a lot, like 10 years ago, and everyone was like, ugh, like it was too woo-woo.
Yeah.
But now amazing doctors like Joe Dispenza are validating vibration, right, and the frequency of our body. When I work with women, you know, we'll get on the first call together, and the first thing that they want to know, Mona, tell me the perfect diet, the perfect supplements and workout. Like, I'm on it. I'm going to go do it. But then within 10 or 15 minutes, I have them talking about their childhood or trauma or sadness. And all of a sudden, like, we open the floodgates and then there's just tears and like a melt, right? Yeah. And so I share this story because, like, we want to take this holistic approach to how we're healing. And I think that up until now, women didn't really feel safe to let it go or seek help or talk about the anxiety or overwhelm or mental health stuff that they were feeling, because we were taught to internalize it or be stronger or show up, do it all, right? Yeah. Well, I don't want to do it all, right? I want to show up and do my best, but also feel the best in my body. So yeah, I just wonder, for the people listening, the way that I see it, if you are this, you know, radio antenna, right? You have these frequency lines to your family, your job, your career, your sleep, your past, your parents, the environment, the world. Like, there's so many things that are just cluttering our brain and our mind. And I think that in the same way that we treat our technology, shutting things down at the end of the night, unplugging, recharging, we need to do for our actual body. Right. So what are some of the bigger problems that you think this is going to lead to? So here you are, you guys are activists, you are advocates in this world. You know, if you could choose, if we don't deal with this now, what is it leading to?
Yeah.
Well, the numbers of dementia are increasing. It's staggering. So I think it's important to get in front of this. It's, you know, again, prevention is better than cure. Dementia is not fun. You know, it's not what you want. It's not, you don't want to see your loved one going through that disease. And yes, there's somewhere sometimes that if it's in the cards for you, it is. There's really no amount of brain health that you could have done to help prevent it. It just depends. You know, there's so much dependent on that. But again, like, I think that there's so many things that we can do to be proactive.
Have you guys done genetic testing for yourselves?
Have I done genetic testing for myself? Like 23andMe?
Yeah.
I've done 23andMe.
I think, you know, the world of biometrics, there's so many companies that are coming out. It's wild. It's too much. I think that there's a time and a place for understanding your physiology and whether you carry genes that might dictate the future. But again, it doesn't determine whether you're going to progress and get the disease or not. And the reason I'm asking you, and thank you for sharing details on what it's like to live with somebody with dementia, because we often think out of sight, out of mind. If it doesn't run in my family, I haven't experienced it, it's not going to happen to me. And yet these numbers in women are rising, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to run in your family. That's what the crazy thing is.
Exactly.
You know, that it can just appear and you're like, what the hell? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is, that was shocking to me, actually.
Well, and I think also, like, this is everybody's story, you know, and I think, they're getting older excuse is just not, like, there are things that we can do. And so I think it's just really important, like, everybody knows somebody, everybody has a family member, so many people, you know, have Alzheimer's and dementia, and the numbers, to Emma's point, are increasing, not decreasing. And so it's really important. This is going to become quite a problem for worldwide if we don't start talking about it.
So let's bring this back in and really focus in on the concept of brain fog. Chances are, I mean, brain fog was a norm for me for so long. But when we think of this through the lens of, you know, your research, what are some of the most common reasons that people are suffering from brain fog?
Well, estrogen and progesterone, you know, you have a child, and your hormones completely change. And for the first few years after you have a baby, you know, your hormones are completely out of whack. And that is, like, your hormones are changing. That is why you have brain fog. It's not because you have a baby. It's because of your hormones. And so just identifying that is part of the thing. And then again, when you go through perimenopause or menopause, you're having the same sort of fluctuations, and you have a very, very similar brain fog symptoms that happen. So I think counteracting that with exercise, movement, meditation, nutrition, like, really empowers you. So knowing what's going on, educating yourself, And there are so many ways to counter it. Like, for instance, when I was going through perimenopause and now I'm postmenopausal, in the beginning, I mean, like, it was a nervous wreck. I couldn't think, I couldn't focus. And movement was so key for me at that time, you know, because for me to like show up and be present and like even just get things out of my mouth, things that I'd normally do every day became virtually impossible because of my hormone fluctuations. And so after doing some research, like, I needed to really make sure that I moved my body for 1 to 2 hours a day. And that was, that really worked for me.
Wow.
So, and also with supplementation and diet. So women just need to realize it's not something that happens. Mm. There's changes happening in your body, and there's so many things we can do.
I love that you pointed that out, though, too. Like, you took the time to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, you took time to figure out what you needed specifically.
Yeah.
Because often, like, we try one thing, we try something, ah, it didn't work. We're like, okay, this is it. This is meant to be. And especially with perimenopause now, it's like the brain fog is real.
Yeah.
And a lot of it stems, for me, it's poor sleep. It's like overnight, goodbye sleep.
Yeah.
That just like completely disappeared.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going on progesterone and helped, but like not much. The brain fog was just there. But then I increased my dose of progesterone. I kid you not, on my Oura Ring, it's the first time probably in like 5 years that I've ever seen a 2 hour deep sleep mark.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't think I've even gotten that.
Right?
I think I'm at like 130, 140.
Right? I know. But again, it took me so long to just figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Or something like breath work. If we were just taught how to increase blood flow to our brain and take the time to do it every single day, we would do it, right? Mm-hmm. Or in my world too, optimizing your gut function, like healing your gut, which is connected to your brain, is going to make all the difference in the world.
They do say it's your second brain.
You got it. Mm-hmm. And did you dive into the world of, you know, your gut health and gut changes?
Yeah, I mean, I did originally with this first doctor. So, you know, it was about how to look after my gut, what I'm putting into my body, how to support my gut that really benefited my brain as well.
And did you make any hard changes at that point? Like, are there any non-negotiables with food that you know are your triggers?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was gluten. It was really looking at my carbs, which was such a drag.
Yeah, I know.
Sugar was a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these were things that we know. Like, we know that these aren't great for our body. Mm-hmm. And it's really just about how to start. I weaned back slowly.
Great.
It wasn't like I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this perfectly. It was like, it was a process. And I think it's not always black and white. Like,
totally.
I think that you have to kind of like settle into this new routine and go easy on yourself. And sometimes you're not going to do it perfectly and that's okay. And you can reset and start tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think with like social media, there's this idea of like this perfection, and I don't subscribe to that.
I'm with you. And a lot of people, you see, brought up the cutting out of foods. A lot of people don't think that their morning coffee with milk, or that one piece of sourdough bread, or their afternoon sweet potato, like whatever it is, that could be contributing to their gut health. But with that said, it's not a forever thing. Like, you cut it out for a little while, you let your body heal, you heal your digestion, you can bring those foods back into your life, but you notice the brain fog really dissipate, right?
Yeah, especially when you see it dissipating and then you feel so good. It's like a snowball effect, right? Like, as you're, you know, you're eating healthier, or just being mindful what you're putting in your body. And when you see a positive outcome, it's like you want to stick with that.
And at the end of the day, you help your brain, you help your heart. You help your heart, you help your brain. You help your digestion, you help your brain. it's all connected.
It's interesting. I had to, for me, I gave up eating meat, and I just changed. I'm a pescatarian now. And I was completely, like, the one thing that I really noticed was after 2 weeks on a pescatarian diet was the clarity in my brain. I mean, it was so shocking how clear I was. And so that was one of the, I think, best things I personally did for my health.
I love that you brought that up, because so many women right now especially are thinking that they need to get to 140 or 150 grams of protein to feel their best, when that's just not true.
Yeah.
A lot of the data is that that's been done on, you know, it could be from men. It depends on your goals. And of course, protein is essential, especially for aging. But I think that the people listening, figure out the foods and the diet that make you feel the best. And look at your genetics too. I don't know if you guys have ever tried this, like trying to eat like your ancestors. So I'm half meat and potatoes and half completely vegetarian. Mm-hmm. When I go to the Indian side of things, I thrive. I feel like my body comes back into place. My digestion's on point. Yeah. But again, I'm in this world of wellness and, oh, I should try this. And I want to try everything for my clients. And I feel like, oh, it's too much chaos that I'm experiencing. So thank you for bringing that up. What are some of the biggest misconceptions about brain fog that you're seeing?
I think that there's nothing that you can do, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that there's plenty of things that you can do. And again, it's about being proactive. I think people don't think about their brains. They don't know how to think about their brains. No one's talking to them about their brains. Right. So I think it's just an afterthought, which is wild. But we're not educated about it. So how would we know to ask our doctor? You want your doctor to be able to educate you on the things that you should be thinking about. And it's breast health, heart health, it's gut, even gut health now, my doctor speaks to me about. But like when you go into these appointments, they're not talking to you about your brain.
No, so, not at all. And it's not until something's wrong they bring it up, right? Like this isn't about prevention, which is what drives me insane. I use this in reference with digestion all the time. Like if you could see your digestive tract, or like if we had tests where we could actually get more indication to the state of our gut or our brain, chances are we would treat it a little bit differently. But we have no concept of this organ inside of our skull
at all. Because we can't see it, right? And there's like no real tests that can, you know, really take a look unless you're doing brain scans or whatnot. You know, you could get a stethoscope for your heart and have a mammogram for your breast, but not really anything for your brain.
So let's just break that myth today then, that brain fog does not have to be part of aging, and that as we've experienced, it can be reversed, right? So key.
I would say that, yes. Yeah. But I think it's, you know, if you are experiencing it, it's just time to get involved in your brain health.
Absolutely.
There is something that you can do for it.
Mm-hmm. Inquire, ask questions.
That's right.
And let's talk about diet then. Okay. Mm-hmm. So some key things. And let's maybe share, like, what are some foods that you guys know really impact you?
For me, you know, when I'm thinking about my brain, it's leafy greens, it's healthy fats, using olive oil instead of seed oils.
You got it.
Avocados, whole grains, nuts are very important. That's where I go to sort of feel my best. Just like whole foods.
Clean
whole foods. 100% blueberries.
Do you guys know Jim Quick?
Yeah, totally.
No. Love
so
Jim.
He calls blueberries brain berries.
Yeah.
So yeah, eat your blueberries every
single
day.
Wild blueberries, even better. So I use wild blueberries in my smoothie. Mm-hmm. You know, like I do these really healthy smoothies, like these brain healthy smoothies where I put like MCT oil. I put a scoop of our Make Time Wellness brain health supplement, and then just blueberries, almond milk.
Yeah, so yummy.
Yeah, there's really yummy stuff.
And I think a lot of people listening, like you didn't just describe a brain protocol. You simply describe really yummy foods that you can consider to your grocery list every single week that are going to help you optimize.
100%. Yeah. You can do like, and there's actually a couple of really great brain healthy cookbooks out there.
Mm.
There's someone named Dr. Annie Fenn. She has a beautiful,
I saw on your website.
A brain health cookbook, and it's huge. And the foods are delicious. It's just yummy. And, you know, dark chocolate is also, you know, a little bit of dark chocolate. There's nothing wrong with that. There's just really so many great options that you don't really have to skimp. You know,
it's a good point. It's like it's almost like it's more about what you take out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
You brought up seed oils. Are there other ingredients that you guys just kind of really try to avoid?
Seed oils is my big one. Sugar is my other one.
Sugar
and alcohol.
Yeah, seed oils, alcohol, and sugar, I say, is the, like, trifecta.
Yeah. You know, in January, I did dry January, and I kept it going because I just felt great. You know, I love, like, a glass of red wine with dinner.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, my body just does not it just does not process anymore. It wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that's just with like a glass of wine.
I know.
So I just think that doesn't work for my body.
Well, I mean, you know, alcohol and, you know, everything, of course, in moderation, but it causes inflammation, and that's the last thing you want to do for your brain. It's like inflammation is the worst thing for our health, but for our brain health, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, minimizing the alcohol that you drink is really, really important. And sugar is such a no-no. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really have to watch our sugar.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good call to action, though, because I feel like some women, this whole everything in moderation movement, if we're doing seed oils in moderation, we're basically microdosing seed oils to our brain, right? Yeah. So I would say, you know, as you guys have done and the journey that you're on, it's like bring your body back into balance first. Heal, take out inflammation, get to a state where you're feeling really great again. And then when it comes for the fun time, the fun foods, the...
Bring it in.
Bring it in. Yeah. I'm all for it.
I'm
here to enjoy food also. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, I'm like a stress eater. I really found that out over the years that like when I'm stressed, I just want something like comforting and yummy. And I go back to like my childhood of foods that I used to eat.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay. You know, we shouldn't beat ourselves up over it. Again, it's I think you need, you know, I think it's like, for me, it's like this 80-20.
Yeah.
I have kids. They love pizza. They love and I do too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we're doing things to kind of counteract all of those imbalances.
For sure.
Right?
I think some is better than nothing. Like you can support your brain just a little bit over time, and again you'll start feeling better, and then that'll probably snowball and you continuing.
And what you're mentioning is like if we do things that way, we're losing the guilt. Mm-hmm. That's something else that I think women, like, go have the chocolate cake, don't feel guilty right afterwards. The guilt that you're feeling is going to do more harm and good than good long term.
Eat it, enjoy it, like savor it, take your time with it, eat that chocolate cake.
Yes,
just not every night.
Just not every night. Yeah. All right, I really want to dive in to make time. So let's really talk about, you know, the research that you've done into supplementation.
Yeah.
The key supplements that you've chosen to be in this amazing product. I can't wait to try it. But, you know, talk about the supplements that you've chosen for Make Time and why.
You know, when we sat down to make time for brain health, it was very important that we had a beautiful all-in-one for women that was easy for her to, and for us, to really hit all of our bases. And one of our main ingredients in the product is curcumin. Curcumin has been used throughout history to reduce inflammation. And it also improves cognition, focus, clarity. It's a very, very well-studied natural ingredient. So that's kind of the base of our Make Time. And when you open Make Time, you see it's this bright, beautiful orange color. And that's from our curcumin. So it really has amazing benefits. And when you drink it every day like I do, you can really see the profound effects it has on keeping your body less inflamed. And it really helps in so many areas. So it's really one of my favorite ingredients in the product.
That's another one of those ingredients, though. Like, it's a superfood that's proven the test of time, comes from nature, works on our brain, works on our joints, on our heart, on every cell in our body. Yeah, it's incredible. I love that you chose that.
And, you know, we really, when we were making the drink, it was just really important for us that it was super well-rounded. Mm-hmm. Then we also have, you know, MCT oil in, which is like a big energy booster for the brain. Everybody can use some MCT oil. Mm-hmm. Then we also added cognizin citicoline. This is a nootropic that's found in the brain. It's been very, very well studied. It has a lot of research. This helps just to support overall brain health, cognition, and it's been studied in women. So that was really, really important to us that a lot of these ingredients that we used were studied, have female studies, so we could really feel good about putting it in the product. And then we have a multivitamin in it. We have a really big B suite. B vitamins are really, really important for brain health.
Cognition.
And,
energy, and mood.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these things, these were the supplements that I was on, except for the cognizin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was like a new, fun, incredible ad. But everything like the curcumin and the bees and the maltia and was MCT, and I was putting that in my smoothie. So it's just so nice to have it now all in a drink that's just easy to take.
Yeah, they're all ingredients that we can understand. And I think that the
Yeah.
solution that you really filled is we've been looking for all of these ingredients independently and on their own. And I think you and I are done with taking the bowl full of
Yeah. Oh,
vitamins
yeah, it's
every single
hard. It's so
day.
hard.
Too much. So something that's easy and that tastes really great, I think, is essential. Yeah.
Yeah, and women can, just drink it as a drink. They could throw it in a big bottle of water. They can put it in a smoothie. It's got like a lovely, it's made with crystallized orange, so it's like an orange
So
flavor,
good.
Yeah, it's very
and
delicious.
it's just very easy, and it really covers your brain, body, and beauty in that order. So we really, really love it, and really the benefits, you notice them nearly immediately. Like you really can tell that you're doing something good for yourself, and it really makes it super simple, which was our goal in the beginning.
Oh my God, I love
Yeah.
that. All right, so we've got this amazing supplement. I think that we've covered a lot of the really great things that we can be doing every day, from exercise to sleep, movement, time outside, meditation. You know, what would you say about detox? You guys done a lot of detoxing?
Sauna
Yeah.
is really important. I think that's sort of a way that I like to detox. And also just like exercise, being able to sweat.
You got
That
it.
that's for me, that's my detox. That's what I do, and it is very beneficial for the brain.
Because I figured, like, that's one thing too that I think women are more inundated with is the amount of products that we use every
Oh
single day,
yeah.
right? That fuel toxins. Toxins live in every cell in
Oh
our
my
body,
goodness,
which
yeah.
obviously would impact our brain health,
Yeah.
right? So, taking care with those things as well as just being one of the buckets that you can tap into. Sauna, I love. Do you guys sauna consistently?
I love saunas. Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
same.
that I'm
Sauna and
consistent,
sweat.
but
I want to be
I know I
consistent.
see people like on Instagram where they're going in there every
Yeah.
day. I'm like, how are they doing this every day? Like, yeah, no.
I
Like
know.
every 7 to 10 days,
Yeah,
I'm
I'm with
able
you.
to do it.
Yeah. We'll
But then
get
I,
there.
yeah, we'll get there. We'll get to every day. We'll just have to schedule that in.
Some of those influencers
Yeah.
online.
Yeah, cold plunge, sauna, cold plunge.
Yeah,
We
that's a good one.
actually met somebody. Was I with you? I met someone that was actually hospitalized. So someone that we work with.
Oh.
They went to a cold plunge like summit and they ended up in the hospital
Oh my
because they overdid
gosh.
it. And
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
yeah, like they were just in and out of the cold plunge all day until they got
Everything in
into the hospital.
moderation.
Yeah,
So
don't get an
it's like
award, people. You do not
I
get an
award.
award. It's like fasting. I get these texts from clients like, I
Oh.
got to 37 hours. There's no award,
Yeah.
right? Like, do what feels good for you, which I think is so
Yeah.
key. All right, so let's think about, one thing. You guys are such amazing advocates for brain health. I love that you're women. What's one thing that you wish more women were taking care of with their minds?
I just think, like their overall well-being. I would like for women to just know that it's okay to make time for themselves. That, what we say at Make Time, like grab a friend, go for a walk, talk about your problems. Like that's such a wonderful way to like nurture yourself in such a simple way. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
What's the impact of making time? Like if we take like it's almost like this isn't even a product. You're literally just giving us a foundational truth for how to be well. What's the impact of making time?
I think that as women, we're going to be there for ourselves, and in turn, we're going to be there for everyone around us. Yeah.
I love that. Most important thing, right? And I think for women, if we really do, after listening to this podcast, start scheduling time into your calendar for yourself for the one or two things that make you feel better. We pour more into the cups around us. Like our children get the better part of us, our loved ones get the better part of us, our work, our creativity gets the better part of us. But we have to just like unlearn the fact that we've got to move ourselves to the bottom of our priority list.
Yeah, no, we can't do that. I think what's so beautiful about also making time is that when you think about like what do I want to make time for? And it doesn't have to be like exercise and the hike and the, but it's like
Hardcore.
even going back to like your hobbies. We did this challenge, the Make Time Challenge, where every day for 30 days we needed to make time for something. And it was actually hard
Yeah.
because I'm like, what do I actually like to do? So
Yeah.
I really had to
Wow.
sort of like dig deep. And it was like, I was reading so much more. I'm going to read more at night, or I'm going to do the puzzle that's been collected collecting dust downstairs. It's just like you really need to tap back into your hobbies. And I think we've just forgotten about it. Like they've just all been put to the back burner because we don't look after ourselves the way we should. We look after everyone else so well.
Can I just go back? Like, what do I love to do? How many women even ask themselves that? Right?
Yeah.
Like, don't go into the sauna because we're saying it's a good idea. Do something that you love to do.
That will even benefit you so much more than the sauna for 20 minutes. Like, really, it's just, you know, my husband would call this noodling around, where it's like you have nothing on the schedule and you just get out into the world and you walk around, you window shop. Oh, there's a coffee shop. I'm going to stop there. Like, that is just so, it just depends on what you like to do. But we used to love doing that. Like, it just really fed our soul.
For sure.
Noodling around.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Do you think, so I heard Sarah Blakely talk about this once, where part of her strategy every day was to just go sit outside.
Yeah.
Sit outside, look up at the sky, and just be with your thoughts. And for me, I thought that that had to come through meditation, but I didn't consider, ultimately, I really just needed another woman to give me permission to say, like, that's part of your success strategy in life and in happiness. Go sit outside, take time to just look up at the sky, see what comes up for you, and then go back to your day.
100%. I mean, I think like even just going out for a walk, for me, that's where like my best idea, you know, for some people it's like in the shower, but when I can get out for a walk, not with like listening to a pod on in my ear, it's just like really just actually being outside,
for
walking,
sure.
thinking. We should be, I'm giving the listeners permission to go do that.
Yeah. I mean, I think this being outside is one of my things that keeps me rooted. Like, I really have to make sure I go outside because I feel like that's where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to see the stars, or you're not going to get the sunlight, or like, you're just not going to experience the day if you just don't. If you don't make time for that moment. So it's just really important. And Emma always says, like, making time looks different for everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's what that means for yourself.
Making time is such a simple concept, but I just want to applaud you. It's such a big thing. Mm. And I really just want everything that you're doing to just go mainstream. And I think that a lot of our listeners are going to be really inspired about the charitable aspect of the things that you're doing. Can you guys fill us in on that?
Yeah. So we donate 5% of all proceeds to Hilarity for Charity. They are they're an incredible organization. They look after families who are going through the Alzheimer's journey. And they're also educating this new generation of brain health advocates, which I just find really empowering that like our young people will know about how to look after their brains from an earlier age. And we're really aligned because they're all about brain health and research. So it was the right fit for Make Time Wellness to be able to have that be our charitable arm.
Yeah.
And it's been like a beautiful partnership with them, which has been really exciting.
Partnership and concept too. I think like, you know, these driven brands that are committed to giving back, it's it's about so much more than you guys. It's about a bigger purpose and higher cause that people want to be part of also.
This is a very purpose-driven brand.
Yes.
You know, we have incredible products, but it's just sort of this whole thing that we're building, this umbrella that we have over it, I just think is, for me, really powerful. And I think for both of us, it's like, it's all about purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think purpose has found us.
I think it's part of our DNA as women. Yeah. I really do. Yeah.
And it's really actually great for your brain health.
Yeah. Bring it full circle.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. So. And you do a lot of advocacy work. Do you mind sharing also about the FTD awareness and with Bruce and your passion there? I know you give a lot of insight on your page.
Yeah. So my husband was diagnosed with FTD in 2022. And, you know, for us, it was really important to be able to for me to help raise awareness around a disease that I did not know anything about prior to it. A lot of people don't know what FTD, but it is the most common form of dementia for people under the age of 60. I didn't even know that a younger onset existed prior to this. So for me, again, this is something that is very purposeful and meaningful to me to be able to not only help our family, but the next family, so that when they get this diagnosis, that they don't feel as alone and isolated like I did when, you know, we got this incredible, crazy diagnosis. So
Caring for any family member takes a massive toll, and we no longer live in villages where there's tribes to support us. And you guys also, you give so much mention to the caregivers in people's lives also, which is such a nice surprise on your website.
Yeah. There are so many caregivers out there, and they are really our unsung heroes. You know, they're doing so many things and that we don't get to see. So for me, it's really important for our brand to be able to just highlight them. And, you know, I have some energy where I'm able to shine a light on them and be able to bring them resources and try and be helpful and of service in any way that I can.
Thank you for bringing that up. I just wanted to shed a different light, because I'm sure a lot of people listening have people in their life that they have to take care of. And often it gets so easy to get stuck in the draining aspect of it and how depleting it can be, as opposed to the gifts that also exist with that. So thank
you. There's it is a very difficult thing, but there is also light and joy and things that come from it too. So it's really about finding that balance. So
I love it. I want this to turn into a movement. I'm so grateful for this conversation. Yes. I just think it's going to be a game changer for women.
It is a movement.
It's a movement.
Get the world thinking seriously about women's brain health.
It's happening. So in closing, we finish off with some rapid fire questions. Okay. You guys can decide who wants to take the answer.
Okay.
So what are the most common mistakes or misconceptions that you're seeing women make with their health?
Overcomplicating it. Absolutely. You know, you just need to keep it simple.
So true. We do too much as is. What is one way that many women are making healing and health too complicated?
They're overcomplicating it.
Do we talk about overwhelm on this show? Do we talk about anxiety and overwhelm?
So overcomplicating it. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Shut out the noise. Focus and feel what feels right for you.
Yes.
And just simplify it.
Yeah. Find the thing that brings you joy that you mentioned. What's your favorite ancient healing remedy?
I've been doing cupping recently, which I really enjoy, and acupuncture. For me, it's all about like how to get the blood moving, circulating in my body. And for me, like when I think about that, I think about like the blood flowing to my brain.
Yeah, absolutely. Balancing your body.
All the things.
That's me. Beautiful. If you had to pick something about modern medicine that excites you, what would it be?
Should I go? Yeah. You know, I think like brain scans excite me. I think that there is, if we could just bring that more into sort of the our annual, you know, like we do with mammograms and all of these things, I think that to be able to see things earlier is really beneficial for
us. Can we manifest this? Like over the age of 35, women should have access to brain scans.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's just put that out there. What are the top three things that we can start doing right now to optimize our health?
Put your brain, body, and beauty in that order. Society has really reversed it.
Yes.
And so it's just really important that you think of your brain, body, and then your beauty every day.
I love it. No one's ever said that.
Yeah.
Prioritize your body first, and then the beauty also comes.
Yeah.
Right?
Your brain first.
Your brain first. And then your body. And then the body.
And then that benefits. And then your beauty comes. Yeah.
You got it. If you could leave our listeners with just one takeaway that you're most passionate about right now, what would it be?
I would say to make time. Make time for yourself. It's so important. Put yourself first. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty about it.
I love that. We're going to put the link outs to everything below. I can't wait to try and share everything about Make Time. Emma and Helen, I'm just so grateful I met you.
Thank you.
The timing of all of this. And thank you for like really being intentional about putting it out to the world that women need to just take this into their power, because once they do that, it's part of their superpower and their healing. And I think that we can drastically change how we're aging as women, right? Thank you for being here.
Nice to see you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.